Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. One more time. Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult, and it has been left untried. Those were the words of the great writer and thinker G.K. Chesterton. And how right he was. The heart and soul of Christianity is demanding, no compromise. If you follow Jesus Christ, really and truly, then you are required to put your all on the altar. All of you and all of everything you have on that Christian altar. Not some, but all. Everything and everyone. Nothing. Nothing, as the old hymn goes, between the soul and the Savior. Nothing. And the carpenter from Nazareth goes even further. He tells us that we should leave father and mother. Boy, that's a tough one, isn't it? He's been criticized for that. He tells us that we should sell everything we own and give it to the poor. Give it to the poor. That's a really tough one. And he tells us to preach the gospel everywhere, and especially where it is most difficult and dangerous, where life and limb are always at risk. Go there, he says, and preach the gospel. He tells us to resist the devil, evil, at all turns, all of it, to visit the downtrodden and the prisoners, to feed the hungry and house the homeless. Small wonder indeed that Chesterton found Christianity so difficult and came to the absolute correct decision that at its core, Christianity had never really been tried. Today, more than ever, it is difficult to be a Christian, a real Christian, don't you think? And getting harder. Since the very beginning of our great country, it has been rather easy to be a Christian. There are, of course, bumps in the road, difficulties culturally, socially, and politically. But even as our society turned more secular, there was always tolerance for Christianity and, in fact, for all religions. Jews, for example, who were persecuted the world over, found tolerance and reasonable acceptance in America. Muslims, however difficult it was for Americans to understand and tolerate that religion, were welcomed. Different Christian sects and denominations were tolerated and also accepted. And the real religious diversity of original America cooperated, accepted, and fostered religious freedom for all. As a result, there came in our beloved Constitution the First Amendment. And that First Amendment guaranteed forevermore freedom of religion and the freedom of speech to proclaim those religious beliefs anywhere and everywhere at any time. How ironic today that what was once fought for and then constitutionally guaranteed is being attacked as never before. More than ever, our society becomes spiritually intolerant. Our culture becomes more secular, more aggressively anti-religion, and specifically much more aggressively anti-Christian. Atheism grows, and there is a disrespectful disregard for the God of the universe. Shocking. The God creator who made this world and all therein. It is tragic to see, but real and threatening. Dialogue is being replaced by dangerous conduct. There are threats, intimidation, and violence directed toward people of faith. The issues of the day are hardly ever really discussed, don't you think? Witness the Democratic debates, which always devolve into awful argumentation. Congregants can be gunned down while at worship. Anti-Semitism is very much on the rise once again. That's just unbelievable. And that's here in America. And also around the world. The call to change America, radically change our beloved country, top to bottom, grows louder and louder. We the people are divided as never before, and America now lives under the mantra, we are right and you are wrong. Nothing more to say, nothing more to say. It's all a matter of right and wrong, and ne'er the twain shall meet. Freedom of religion and press and media and assembly in the public marketplace with all of its rights and privileges and the freedom to speak virtually anything, anywhere, without fear of intimidation or bodily harm is being eroded and even eliminated by the day. carefully by carefully calculated step. And you know, that is the difficulty for Christians and conservatives. This erosion, this evolutionary change, these threats are subtle, one by one. There is no secular change by revolution, but only evolution. A change here, a change there. And when confronted, the secular, radical, progressive side of our country employs the Saul Alinsky philosophy and denies everything. And then delays dealing with these issues. And then obfuscates, that is, confuses, and distorts the truth and the facts. And as a last resort, litigates the matter so that it hardly ever ends. These radical progressives are determined that people of faith, and especially the Judeo-Christians, will someday soon bow down to Baal and confine their faith to the four walls of a church, or see it eliminated altogether. And this radical opposition is determined to win, passionate, unyielding, now more than ever, determined to win. Witness Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, who has indicated that her passion, her first and perhaps only real priority in her political life remaining, is to see to the passage of the Equality Bill. Nothing which Washington, D.C. ever politically envisioned would do more harm to the First Amendment, and especially religious freedom, than the brutal, Equality Act. It would strip away religious rights, and especially those of Christians. More importantly, it would do away with the RFRA, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and that's a terrific act for protection. And it would do away with that act and all the protections this federal legislation guarantees to religion generally. The Democrats, at least those in the House of Representatives, are strongly in favor of this act by a large majority. And that may well be so for Democratic senators as well. But that's yet to be seen as the Senate considers this proposed legislation. And then comes the so-called squad. The squad. Radical socialists, and in the words of President Trump, anti-Americans. Boy, I sure agree with that. Do you? Perhaps the real leaders or spokespersons of the now radical and progressive Democratic Party, not the traditionalists like Pelosi and Schumer. They, the squad, really get the press, the coverage, and they bespeak the Democratic Party's objectives. And so this radical conduct of the Democratic Party, which Trump calls anti-American, led Franklin Graham of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association to state of the Democratic Party that it had turned its back on God. Turned its back on God. Do you agree? Franklin Graham went on to say, many Democratic politicians don't want God in any part of their politics or our country's business because his, God's, standards condemn their sins. Condemn their sins. Franklin Graham. And Franklin went further. People hate feeling guilty for their sins. I think he's right. And he went on to state that since gaining the majority in the House of Representatives, Democrats have been making changes to House traditions, including sometimes omitting the words, "So help me God," from the swearing-in oath. Gone. Democrats follow the mantra of Representative Steve Cohen of Tennessee, who said, "I think God belongs in religious institutions, in temple," he's Jewish, "in church, in cathedral, in mosque, but not in Congress." Not in Congress. How about that? In answer to that Democratic attack on God, Representative Liz Cheney, Republican from Wyoming, declared that Democrats are resorting to a socialistic and atheistic way of running government. Said Cheney, "House Democrats really have become the party of Karl Marx." Boy, that's really an aggressive statement. Do you agree with that? And a conservative commentator, Clint Cooper, agreed with Cheney, stating himself that, quote, "Invoking God would mean the existence of an entity more powerful than the federal government." And that's not what Democrats want to consider. Well, that's interesting. Do you agree with that? No more God, no more religion of any kind in Congress or the federal government, and eventually, and hopefully for the Democrats, perhaps nowhere else in the public square of America. No matter how much they would deny that. And yet another comment on this critical issue. No God, no conscience, then no need for truth. No need for truth. And that is the America of today. The America which now lives in the era of post-truth, where anything goes. Because there is no such thing as truth, absolute truth. And whatever advances the cause, the ultimate objective, is what is right, the substitute for truth and fact. God, for the great majority of the Democratic Party, is gone, never to return. And more. Republican National Committee spokesperson Elizabeth Harrington stated as follows. The Democratic Party has gone from mocking us, that is, the Republicans, traditionalists, and conservatives, for once clinging to guns and religion, now to saying, we will take your guns and your religion. And, by the way, your religion is, you supply the four-letter word. And that's beyond offensive, said Harrington. And we will keep our First and Second Amendment rights. Thank you, said she. And so the battle lines are drawn and the fight is on. And in this fight, it seems like it's winner take all. So no choice, my fellow Americans, fellow Christians, and people of faith. You have no choice. You must stand up now while there is time. Resist now or become the victims of this radical change proposed. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. Protect the faith once given to the saints and the right to believe and practice and testify. Protect it now even as those who would take it away grow in numbers every day and in intimidation and even violence. Be ready. Be not deceived. Understand what is happening and remember the words of radical revolutionists like George Soros who said, I will bring down America. George Soros, I will bring down America. And now with the entrenching of the deep state in Washington, D.C., the now radicalized Democratic Party, progressive and liberal judges everywhere, and billions upon billions of dollars ready to be invested in the fundamental change of America, the fight is on, whether we choose to fight it or not. We can do so now without violence. Thank the Lord for that. We can do it without violence for the most part. But the day will come when the resistance and the defense of freedoms may not be nonviolent. And we would then witness and be part of the end of our beloved America. Please don't let that happen, my fellow Americans. These are indeed the times, as revolutionary Thomas Paine well said, that try men's souls, boy, do they ever. Let us not, as Chesterton said, be tried and found wanting as Christians. America and the faith of our fathers need us to stand up, you and me, now more than ever.